And good morning. It's an open phone Monday. Colin Letty and Mikey J across the console. We're talking about anything and everything. Let's see. We mentioned the fact that the Iowa Democratic Party has a new chairman. And he said, well, let's be honest. Yes, we made some mistakes, but we did an awful lot of things right. And I said to Colin, I said, okay, name what you did right.
And we both had a really tough time coming up with even a couple examples. Like they said caucuser turnout was below what was expected, but my question was, how many were they expecting?
Well, and that's the other the big question about the whole caucus thing is,
because we've discussed multiple times, caucusing is a very tedious process.
It's a very different process than a primary. And the fact that it's sort of like when you lay an egg and you don't have you have this app that was supposed to be the magic app that was going to do all the tabulating and then have all the information.
It was going to make caucusing so much easier.
And it would be instantly available to all of the networks who had all their anchors sitting up in Des Moines waiting for this first-in-the-nation test of presidential preference. And what they got instead was absolutely
silence.
Nothing. Dead air. So they all had to basically, they're all tap dancing their way through there.
They're continuing the discussion. Oh, who do you think is,
They did have people
trying to stall for time.
They did have reporters at caucuses who could do, basically saying we're going to go to a caucus and let's see how it works and that sort of thing. But the reality is, okay, here's the question. Did this do a significant amount of damage to the whole Iowa first-in-the-nation presidential test, or did it not? And that's, I guess, I can't answer that. Do you have an opinion on that or not?
I don't think that it's going to change much. I think it's going to open people's eyes to how little this really matters in the whole grand scheme of things, but I think they're going to keep doing it because there's so much money behind it.
Okay.
They'll never stop it.
They'll still come.
But, my question, when it comes to this Iowa, head of the DNC, how much, control did he actually have over this app being chosen as to run the whole caucus? I feel like the head of the Iowa DNC just listens to whatever the head of the national DNC tells them. I doubt he came up with this idea on his own. It was probably a focus group. It was probably introduced to him by someone above him.
Now,
like, this would be a great way to, make things cool and hip for the young kids and get an app to vote with.
They didn't bother to test it.
Yeah. Here's the only rub in that argument, and that is at least, I would agree. I would think the pressure on him was from somebody else to use the app. The problem was that he should have, and he could have, been the guy to say, okay, well, yeah, we'll use the app, but we will have the old system available as a backup. We have a bank of operators, 10 people answering the phone up in Des Moines. And just in case, because what do you lose by having all of the preparation? In case for some reason, believe it or not, the app fails or there's some problem with the app, then we have this. They really should have had the app as the backup and had the main thing be the call and have the and then test the test the app on the and make sure that you have to have credibility, and if you don't have credibility, you really don't have anything.
The app was designed incredibly quickly, and they just forced it out in I think under 2 months before the Iowa caucuses. And for any of you who knows about developing any sort of software, including apps, it takes way way longer to develop an app than that.
Yeah, and that's really the thing.
Because there's so many things you need to do. You need to get all this data right. You need to test it multiple times. You need to make sure it works across all platforms.
Okay, now, the other issue is, you talked about the Democratic National Committee, and the pressure that they're putting on. So, now, the rules are being changed because to allow Michael Bloomberg into more of the debates and to basically be able to get into more primaries and that sort of thing. There is talk about conspiracy theories. You mentioned all the theories that are out there. the theory is that what they're trying to do is get they don't want Bernie Sanders.
They're trying to push Bloomberg.
Go figure. Weird. They
don't want a Democratic socialist at the head of their
ticket.
Lost,
they're losing control and they want it back.
Well, they did this exact same thing back in 2016, and it was widely reported that the DNC suppressed Bernie Sanders. You know, as much as they could. They wanted Hillary Clinton because she was a cash cow. She had an unlimited supply of money behind her campaign, and they thought she was a slam dunk. And she obviously wasn't.
And
she lost.
They threw up that shot.
So are they doing the same thing to get to elevate Michael Bloomberg? Is that what they're doing?
Yes, I think they just want anyone.
They want to put as many
people up there as possible against Bernie, just in the hopes that one of them will catch fire and be able to take
and
him down.
To be fair,
they don't want him.
A couple of them have really met up with Bernie. I don't think anybody surpassed him. I think Pete Buttigieg is sort of at Bernie's level, maybe a little bit below at this point. But like you said, there's really nobody catching up to him, and they're kind of scrambling to get somebody
and,
to get above
and the
him.
The question is, and Bernie still has – Bernie's got a pretty strong base of support.
Yeah.
So our – So what happens when you manipulate things, as you have indicated, it seemed to be the case in 2016, and you do it again in 2020, and we talked about, what was that? I did just say the word credibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is par for the course for the DNC. They will constantly change the rules to get a candidate that they like in a certain position, get them into the debate, get them, you know, in some sort of spotlight.
Do they still have super delegates yet for the DNC? I don't know. I have not heard anything about super delegates.
Neither have I. I haven't heard anything about that, but I assume they probably will.
Yeah. But the super delegates, really, that's what the strategy was. Hillary got all the superdelegates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weird how that happened.
Yeah, well,
interesting.
Yeah, she also got all the questions to the the town hall debates she was supposed to be having, too. That was fed to her straight from Donna Brazil, the DNC.
All we can do is speculate.
No, that was confirmed.
Well,
she admitted to it and had to apologize for it. That was 100% confirmed.
Well, and why did she use a private email server in the first place? Wouldn't that have been?
The email servers here and there. You know, that was a big red herring to distract from the actual election. You know, that was, she did that as the Secretary of State, this and that. Yeah, she shouldn't have done it. But when it comes to the election,
it was a distraction.
Tampering and meddling from the Democratic Party, suppressed Bernie so much. And all those Bernie people, a good percentage of them went and voted for Donald Trump, and it cost the Democrats the election.
Wow.
Because they felt disenfranchised by their own party because they were ignoring what they wanted.
Yeah, why would you vote for this candidate that just got, you know, pretty much illegally shoved in front of yours? Or they buried your candidate.
I still maintain that this is a theory I had.
If
Bernie dropped out and Hillary chose him as her VP candidate, then that would have been a slam dunk.
It's hard for me to imagine a Bernie Sanders supporter voting for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine. I imagine typically when you're faced with a conflict like that, at least in terms of political science research, you basically get out of the system. You don't participate.
You just don't vote.
You throw your ballot.
If you have a conflict between what you believe in and what somebody else is for, you withdraw. You withdraw from. That's what has happened typically. In research, in political science research.
Well, I was a Bernie Sanders supporter that voted for Donald Trump. So I'm not the only person out there that did it.
You were a Bernie Sanders supporter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I love Bernie Sanders.
And
for the sheer reason that I think Bernie Sanders is sincere.
Okay.
I don't agree with every single thing that Bernie Sanders says, but I know that when he's saying it, he's being sincere, and he has a track record his entire life of standing up for civil rights, standing up for what's right, and trying to make people's lives better. And and Bernie Sanders doesn't stand up and say how great he is. I've never seen Bernie Sanders give himself a compliment.
So you're, I know, okay, well, that's you, but I guess, so you're saying you then would be sort of outside of the... what is most expected of people who are faced with a conflict like that.
Yeah, because I don't vote down the party line. I don't trust the Democrats any more than I trust the Republicans, and they're just going to do whatever they can to try to win this election and not put the best candidate forward. They're going to put the best candidate that they think will win forward,
typically,
not the one that will take care of the people of the United States.
I would say typically you are an anomaly, but maybe, maybe.
I feel like the number of Bernie supporters that switch sides for Trump might be bigger than you think. There's definitely a lot of them out there that
there
I know.
It was interesting, and I can't argue with the numbers in up the river. Lee County, Des Moines County, Muscatine County, Scott County, those heavily Democratic counties historically all voting for Donald Trump in 2016. I think part of it was also the fact that the campaign that was run by Hillary was a debacle. It was a horribly handled campaign.
Oh yeah,
and that in itself, poorly run campaign and mistakes made all the way across the board did not help anybody have a feeling of security and credibility.
Yeah, and well, a lot of those people, even those that weren't Bernie Sanders supporters, if you didn't like Hillary Clinton, she did a lot of things to push you dead into Donald Trump's arms when it came to the election with the way that she talked about people in the country.
So Donald Trump owes Hillary Clinton a big favor.
Yes. She gave him the election with the pandering, the terrible things that she said and did all throughout the election.
Because she spent her whole campaign just saying, I'm better than this guy, instead of saying why she was better.
I would agree that her handling of that campaign, that the campaign or the presidency, I believe, was hers for the taking, but
she dropped the ball.
But she completely dropped the ball.
Well, she acted like it was hers already. And I think everyone saw through that pompous, entitlement that she, it's obviously mine. Look at all these people that are voting for him, all these terrible, awful people. She said all this, like called him deplorable, and then expected to be the president of those people.
You have just alienated a massive amount of people in this country.
Half of the people that you're supposed to be president for if you win this election, deplorable folks. So how do you expect any of those people to then?
What did you think was going to happen?
Turn the tide. How is you going to sway any of those voters that are thinking about voting for Donald Trump? You just called them all a name. You're not getting any of those voters to jump ship and come over to your side. She made it very hard to like her, and it pushed away a lot of.
Well, you know what? It's history, and I guess. Right now, Bernie Sanders, you're saying the Democratic National Committee is trying to do the very same thing to Bernie that they did before.
They don't want him.
Yeah. And look what they were doing before. They were pushing Elizabeth Warren as the one candidate Donald Trump's afraid
Donald
of.
Donald Trump is afraid of running against Elizabeth Warren.
Is it the name Democratic Socialist? Is that what scares people?
He doesn't represent what the Democratic Party wants to be. The Democratic Party doesn't want to tackle big issues. The Democratic Party just wants to, say and do flashy things. They want to spend the money on environmental stuff. They want to spend money on, making these.
Well, they do want to.
Which is a decent cause to get behind.
Bernie's talking about Medicare for all.
Yeah, Bernie wants to.
That's a big red flag for a lot of people.
He wants to spend a lot of money, and he wants to completely change the structure of the United States when it comes to the way that we pay for our medicine and the way that we get our health care. And that scares a lot of people.
And they're wondering where we're going to get the money for this. I mean, God forbid politicians take a pay cut, but. Who am I to say?
I think that with Bernie, the Democrats are afraid of another Obamacare. Obamacare is such a scar on the Democrat Party. They tried to do something great, but they executed it terribly, and it ended up hurting the country, and everyone blames Obama and the Democrats for it.
Obamacare has become such a black eye in the Democratic Party, it's bordering on a political meme.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. We've got Mikey J and Colin Letty with me, and your phone calls are welcome today. We'll talk about coronaviruses and the big hubbub about all of the things going on with that.
I'm Michael Braskowski, the voice of Southeastern Community College Basketball, and join me every Friday for Live with Blackhawk Nation, sponsored by Standard of Beaverdale, as we talk with the coaches, athletes, and others for an insider's view of the SEC athletics program. Hear the latest news regarding the teams at SEC. You're live with Blackhawk Nation every Friday at 7:22 in the morning and 5:25 in the evening on 99.3 and 1490 KBUR, and at 7:56 a.m. and 5:56 p.m. on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
It's cold out there. Though it's cold outside, the deals at Morning Sun Farm Implement are still hot as ever, especially on Kubota's BX80 Series subcompact tractor. Hi, this is Josh with Morning Sun Farm Implement. Have you been to our heated indoor showroom recently and checked out these awesome Kubota BX80 tractors? With Kubota's industry-leading design, comfort, and versatility, it really does make these babies the hot setup. The Kubota BX80 subcompact tractor is available in all types of different configurations. Available with a loader, snowblower, mower deck, or a backhoe, just to name a few. The features including tilt steering, a comfy deluxe seat, cruise control, hydrostat transmission, and spacious operator area, it makes even the toughest job seem quick and easy. With low-rate financing and cash incentives available, today is the time to buy your new Kubota BX80 Series tractor. Stop in to Morning Sun Farm Implement and chat with our sales staff, and let us show you why a Kubota BX80 Series should be your next subcompact tractor. Don't forget, our winter service program is going on now, so give us a call to get ready for spring. Morning Sun Farm Implement, your local farmer-owned dealership. Check out our website at msfarmimpl.com.
We know you hate this ad. You say it's bad. It makes you sad. But as we assault your ears, we also help to ease your fears. No red wine, your shirt is fine. No ketchup stains, no city grime. Oh, yes, okay, all right, now finally this song will end. But when you stain, Tide's your best friend.
Get stains out of your clothes and out of your head with 10 times the cleaning power of Tide. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide.
An ex-athlete is waiting to be welcomed into a loving home. There's a greater need to place ex-racing greyhounds into permanent homes than at any point in recent history as a result of greyhound racetrack closings across the country. April is National Adopt-a-Greyhound Month and the perfect time to adopt a gentle companion into your home. Thousands of greyhounds are being cared for by adoption groups now. Please help ensure that all these wonderful dogs find homes by visiting thegreyhoundproject.org for information on adoption in your area.
At Menards, over 12,500 lights and ceiling fans are on sale. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. The 52-inch LED matrix ceiling fan has a matte black and brushed nickel finish with natural wood blades and white glass. The indoor-outdoor rating makes it great for living rooms, bedrooms, and porches. On sale for just $169.99. Find amazing deals throughout the store now at Menards. Prices are good through Saturday, February 22nd.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. On this President's Day holiday, Wall Street is quiet as the financial markets are closed. Most banks are closed as well. Stocks are coming off a mixed week last week, but year to date, everything's in the green. The S&P 500 index is up more than 4%, and over the past 12 months, it's up more than 20%. Lots of people do have an S&P 500 index fund in their retirement accounts. And while it's a holiday, accountants and CFOs are working today at companies that are getting ready to report their quarterly results this week. Tomorrow, we hear from a biggie, Dow Component Walmart, plus Choice Hotels and Advance Auto Parts. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is across the pond. He's meeting today with antitrust chiefs for the European Union in Brussels. The EU has been particularly strong with its regulation over privacy and data breach issues with Facebook. And the space company Blue Origin, founded by Amazon's Jeff Bezos, has a ribbon-cutting ceremony for a new engine production plant today in Huntsville, Alabama. Jessica Ettinger,
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now a look at today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty. A Burlington man drove over Cascade Bridge late Friday night when the brakes on his 1996 Jeep Cherokee failed, then left it there until the next morning. The Burlington Beacon reports that police found the abandoned vehicle still sitting on the bridge shortly before 8 a.m. Saturday. They also found footprints leading away from the vehicle. The driver, 29-year-old Nathan Muller, returned to the scene at about 11 a.m. after police contacted him. The vehicle was then towed without incident. Police say Muller caused $2,000 worth of damage to the barriers around the bridge and $1,500 worth of damage to his own vehicle. The Henderson County Sheriff's Office was able to catch a burglar just after his heist thanks to the homeowner's security and cooperation. The Sheriff's Office says that on Friday, a resident called to report a burglary in progress. Although the caller was not at their home, they were notified of the entry by the home security system and were able to watch the burglar through cameras. The caller was able to describe the burglar's actions and his appearance while deputies made their way to the scene. Before deputies arrived, the burglar, 44-year-old Christopher J. Pierce of Aquaca, left the home and began walking away. Pierce only made it one block away before the deputies were able to locate and arrest him. Authorities say an investigation into animal treatment at an Iowa state lawmaker's hog farm found no evidence that animals were being abused, despite video that a group posted that appeared to show otherwise. Two people with California-based Direct Action Everywhere entered a hog farm last spring owned by Republican Iowa State Senator Ken Rosenbaum. The Mahoska County Sheriff's Office says an investigation didn't find any abuse. Rosenbaum said he decided in December to lease the hog building to a different farmer. He has said veterinary records show the herd was being treated for a respiratory infection that contributed to problems, Direct Action Everywhere documented. The Iowa Democratic Party has named a new interim chairman to replace Troy Price, who resigned last week following a meltdown in the state's lead-off presidential caucuses. The Des Moines Register reports that the party's state central committee voted Saturday to install Iowa Representative Mark Smith of Marshalltown as interim chairman. The vote came a day after party officials agreed to hire two high-profile lawyers to investigate the factors leading to problems that hamstrung the February 3rd Iowa caucus, when issues with a mobile app and other issues prevented it from releasing results. And those are today's headlines in the KBUR newsroom. I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Two plane loads of American cruise ship evacuees are back in the U.S., one plane landing in California, the other in Texas. The new virus known as COVID-19 spreading to nearly 300 people on that ship.
The State Department saying 14 out of the more than 300 Americans flown back from Japan are understood to have tested positive for the virus. Everyone returning to the U.S. from the Diamond Princess ship is beginning a two-week quarantine.
Fox's Simon Owen. A gun control bill in Virginia is put on hold by a state Senate committee. It would have banned some semi-automatic rifles and ammunition magazines that hold more than 12 rounds. Two bodies buried under snow in Colorado are recovered.
Three men were snowmobiling in the Muddy Pass area north of Vail Saturday. When they may have triggered an avalanche, one of them freed himself and called for help. The Colorado Avalanche Information Center saying that dangerous avalanche conditions remain.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. America's listening to Fox News.
Come enjoy the warmth and hospitality of an authentic Irish pub right here in Burlington. Kelly O'Shea's restaurant features seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, appetizers, and delicious nightly specials. The bar offers specialty beers on tap, extra cold bottles and cans, and a variety of liquors and coolers. At Kelly O'Shea's, they enjoy what they do, and they're sure you will too. So come on down, meet some friendly people who love to socialize, and enjoy a warm meal and cold drink at Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill on Main Street in Burlington.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Cloudy skies. Rain is 70% likely, mainly before 11 this morning and a high to 43 degrees. Southeast winds at 5 to 10. Cloudy for tonight. A 40% chance of rain, low down to 27. We'll see south winds at 5 to 15, becoming northwest after midnight, gusting to 20. Cloudy through mid-morning Tuesday, then clearing. Steady temperatures around 30, mostly clear Tuesday night, a low down to 16. And mostly sunny Wednesday, 27 right now. Cloudy skies, light rain, still 35 degrees.
When there's a change in the weather.
It's horrible out here.
And you need to know.
I've never seen it like that.
Get fast, accurate weather information.
Your storm warning will remain
on air and online.
I always know it's going to be there.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Well, we We did some research during the break. We found out that both Mikey J and I were right. The majority of people that were going to be voting for, that were Bernie Sanders supporters, did not vote. They sat on their hands. But those that did vote, 12% of them, what, according to research, were enough to that voted for Trump, such as yourself, and that did the was enough to basically swing some of these key states, maybe even these counties in Iowa. I don't know.
We were was looking up a couple articles over the break, and so they essentially said that about 80% of the people who were Bernie Sanders supporters, when it came down to the election, they didn't show up for Hillary Clinton. They just decided not to vote. And then of those supporters that did vote, 12% of the 20% that decided to go cast a vote, 12% of them voted for, or 12% of that 100% voted for Donald Trump, with the other 8% going towards Hillary Clinton. So when you looked at the Sanders supporters that actually cast a vote, more of them went towards Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton. Most of them did not cast a vote.
I would like to see a statistic of how many chose to vote third party.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there were some out there.
I think what you had is the reality is that it. You're saying what, in essence, it may be an explanation, at least part of the explanation, of why Trump won.
It's one of the factors.
Certainly, you had a lot of factors, and the question is, key states were poorly handled by Hillary, and campaigning in those key states poorly handled by the Hillary campaign. The email server, notwithstanding, would never have been an issue had she not had one. I mean, if she would have just said, "Hey, look, I'm running. If you're running for president, you don't want any stains on you."
Or you just admit to it.
Yes.
You own up.
Yeah, if she would have just come out as soon as it came out and said, "Yeah, I did set the server up. I probably shouldn't have, but it made my life a lot easier because I'm a very busy person."
But we're getting rid of it. It's gone.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done it. I did it, you know.
But then you'd still get those people who say she had that server, so
she's going to have that either way.
I know.
There's going to be some people that are just waving the flag of Hillary is going to, you know, the world's going to blow up if Hillary Clinton becomes president. There's going to be those people
the same way that there's Trump people that scream
on the streets.
Go out to California.
There's good and bad on both sides.
I was on the phone this past weekend with my sister living in, she lives north of San Francisco. She's had, in California, you know, they have had a huge problem. They've got an area north of Cloverdale, which is about 50 miles or so north of San Francisco. They had a huge problem with squatters, and basically it's homeless people who all.
The homelessness problem in Northern California is absolutely insane.
It's out of control.
And that's the cost of living up there is so ridiculous.
So they're looking at, and then we were talking about that, and the fact is they're looking at selling their property. They're looking at selling their property and either leaving the state or going someplace completely different outside where the homeless issue isn't a huge thing.
It's also a huge problem, not just in that area. In Los Angeles, it's just as bad.
Oh, no, of course. Anytime you've got warm weather year-round relatively, you're going to have, and it's a health problem too. All right, let's go to the phones. Good morning. Who do we have with us today?
Just call me Breeze.
Okay. Good morning.
pursuant to a phone call I got last week, could you guys do me a favor and check with the county to make sure supervisors still get health insurance benefits?
No, the supervisors still get health insurance. Yeah, of course
they do. I believe they do.
I'm sure you bet. They do. Yes.
Well, I think you better. Well, I remember when Cahill. Broker and Beck got rid of it.
No, that is not the case. In fact, we'll do the research on it, but because they're not, health insurance has been a key part of that entire compensation package. We'll look it up and find out for sure, okay?
Do me a favor, check on it.
We will check on it, you bet. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Hey, no, just so everybody knows, the reason why supervisors get paid so much more than the city council is because supervisors have a lot of administrative responsibilities that the city council does not have, okay?
Well, and the city council members, it's not a full-time job. That they do it
on, you know, on top of their normal.
Well, the supervisors is not a full-time job.
I thought the county supervisor was
the supervisors aren't a full-time job.
I thought they have a lot more responsibility.
They do more responsibility, and the compensation is considerably higher. You know, I agree. No, I don't think I'm not going to disagree with that. I think that I have my big axe to grind with the city, with the way we run the supervisors, is that we have three supervisors. And I have seen this over the course of dozens of years, decades, as a matter of fact.
You have the two that alienate the one?
Yeah, you have two basically, two against one.
With a five-man board.
It would be great. That's the one thing. That's the thing. I think they need to have five people on a – we need to have a five-person board. But, hey, thank you for calling. We're going to check it out, okay?
Please see you later.
We will. Thank you very much. All right, 754-1490. When you look at service, though, we talked about this a little bit when we had both Linda Murray and Robert Kreitzer on last week. But we talk about service, and there is an increase, or there's going to be an increase in the city council, but not until after the next election. So nobody's going to be none of the current people that are on that you will get anything until after the next election. Now the other thing is. But look at the largest part of your property tax is from the school, and what does the school board get for all the work that they put in terms of compensation? Zero. I mean, no, but where do you draw the line? Yes, there is a certain amount of service to your community, service, and where does it draw the line to where the service is compensated fairly and equitably and all of that sort of thing. I don't know. 754-1490, we're talking about anything and everything on your mind today. One of the things that is on my mind is this whole coronavirus and the way that it has been, the PR about the coronavirus, the fear of this coronavirus, the fact that we've got cruise ships that are, hey, I'm going to be on a cruise this summer. I'm hoping that I don't have to worry about, you know, being...
disease?
Being quarantined?
Well, you're going to be stuck in this fjord forever, you know?
The fjord.
It's cruising the fjords of Norway. I mean, yeah, I can see... Oh, wait, we can't let you go. We can't let you off ship in Oslo or Flam or Strandberg or Bergen. Yeah, we don't want to have. You would think that it would run its course, and you would think that they would have an antiviral agent for this particular.
We discussed this a little bit earlier. We really haven't heard anything about any sort of inoculation or any sort of immunization.
We have heard that there are teams in China that are working.
But we haven't heard of any success stories or any failures of any sort.
We've seen with many viruses, it's very hard to come up with.
Because they mutate.
Yeah, viruses mutate very quickly. That's why we don't have an AIDS vaccine. That's why we don't have a vaccine for the common cold right now. Right. It's been around for years and years. You can't always find a cure for a disease.
It's also a microvirus, so it goes right through clothing. It goes right through masks.
Yeah.
These people are wearing masks. It's mostly for your own PR.
I heard mostly that the disease will enter your body through your eyes.
Yes. Unless you're wearing a gas mask
or a full hazmat suit
you're going to and it's also highly contagious.
The reason why it gets into your eyes is, you know, people normally take the precautions not to put things in their mouth or their nose, but you go to scratch your eye.
It's an unconscious thing, it
spreads the infection. If you touch something that has germs on it, that has this virus on it, you wipe your eyebrow, it's going to make its way into your eye. It's like when you eat hot food, it's very common.
The other reason is the coronavirus, microviruses are so light. And they're airborne, and they you don't have to even touch your eyes.
They work so quickly.
And they, yeah, so they, Because they're light and tiny, they can get into your eyes without having you even touch
your eyes. It also depends on the environment.
But you're right, touching eyes.
It also depends on what environment you're in, because certain diseases thrive in different types of environments. Like malaria thrives in areas that are hot and dry and... or usually humid also, but
I feel sorry for all the people that were on that cruise ship. And the fact is, they were locked in an indoor cabin, okay? And so you're locked in an indoor 1 hour a day. You're able to have a supervised specific release.
Had to be absolute torture.
And they ran out of beer.
To be isolated in one place for that long, it had to be. Absolutely, it had to be so strenuous on your mind.
They're reporting that they've evacuated all the U.S. citizens from the cruise ship and have flown them all back to the United States
under heavy quarantine.
And 14 have been shown to be positive for the coronavirus.
But how many? But they did, on board ship total did they have that had?
I don't think all of them have been tested yet.
Okay.
I haven't seen anything.
They had a fairly large number. That number was growing considerably.
There were more than 300 Americans on the ship. 14 of them have been shown to have the virus. So if that's indicative of how many people on the ship are actually sick or not, you know, 14 out of 300 from the U.S. are sick.
Okay, but so they're coming back, but how?
It seems like a 5% infection rate on the ship.
Are they wearing hazmat suits or something like that, or what?
I was not there, Steve. I do not know as of right now.
Anyway, so what do you see as the total? And we were talking about the number of people that have died of the flu over the same period of time.
Yeah, it's the casualty rate for the coronavirus. So last I heard, it was somewhere a little over 1,100 before the weekend. I think it's up somewhere around 1,500, maybe close to 2,000. But yeah, compared to the flu, we're having a pretty tough flu season. The influenza B virus has made its way, and just in the United States, 10,000 people have died from the flu. All right. That's just in the United States. That's semi-normal. They say each year, anywhere from 10,000 to 40,000 people
die of the flu.
From the common flu, influenza. So I mean, as scary as it seems that 1,500 to 1,800 people could have died from this coronavirus, that's nothing compared
Do you get a flu shot?
No, I don't.
I never.
Neither do I.
I never did. And
I did once.
I did. I've never done it. I was convinced to do it. My doctor last year finally said, you know what? You really need a flu shot. I said, you never know. She said, as long as you're having the flu shot, you might as well have a pneumococcal pneumonia shot, too.
Well, yeah, why not?
So I had, within minutes, I had one arm with a flu shot and the other arm with a pneumococcal pneumonia virus shot. And I said, I felt like I'd been hit by, whoa, I walked out, I was dizzy walking out of there.
Yep.
And for 2 days, I felt like, oh, man, my arms hurt, everything hurts. And it's like, I feel achy all over. It's like, boy, this is really a great idea.
But the important part is, not give you autism.
It didn't give me autism. I didn't get the flu either. All right, 9:49.
It starts with the action on the court, moves to the crowd, and is described by the broadcasters and transmitted to you. The energy, passion, and excitement on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Iowa hosts Ohio State Thursday at 5 p.m. Brought to you by Bob Dodd's Insurance, Reinsmith's Flooring America, the Danville State Savings Bank, and by Standard of Beaverdale on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
That bright, snow-melting sun and the birds chirping means springtime's coming fast. And springtime means project season. Home improvements, landscaping, that to-do list that's been piling up all winter that you've been meaning to get to, but it's never been nice enough and you swear you're gonna get to it. Whew. Don't worry, we've got you covered. Just swing on down to the Home Show Saturday, February 22nd and Sunday, February 23rd. We'll set you up with over 60 of the area's finest experts and vendors all in one place, the Pizzazz Convention and Event Center. You'll be able to see all the latest trends and ideas and get any questions you need answered when it comes to decorating, remodeling, landscaping, farm equipment, pet containment, internet services, and so much more. We've got quite the variety. It's the Home Show, Saturday, February 22nd from 10 to 4, and Sunday, February 23rd from 11 to 3. Brought to you by Pritchard Broadcasting.
Chest pain isn't the only sign of a heart attack. You could feel discomfort in your jaw, neck, shoulder, arm, or back. Or you might have shortness of breath, lightheadedness, nausea, or vomiting. It's different for everyone. If you think you're having a heart attack, don't ignore the symptoms. Call 911 to get help right away. February is American Heart Month. Great River Medical Center urges you to take care of your heart because your health counts. Learn more about us at greatriverhealth.org.
There are many reasons to join the Y. Building endurance, losing weight, and strengthening your heart. When you join the Y, you are committing to more than simply becoming healthier. You're supporting the values and programs that strengthen your community. At the Y, children learn what they can achieve, families spend quality time together, and we build relationships that deepen our sense of belonging. Check out all we have to offer online at burlingtony.org. The Y is more than just a gym, it's where you belong.
We're back on the talk show today, Soup to Nuts, talking about viruses, talking about the difficulty trying to find this virus, and talking about the hysteria and the fear. I think that seems to be the biggest story about this, isn't it? I mean, it's in Wuhan, which is the most polluted city, perhaps, in the entire world. Did you know that?
It's without a doubt the most polluted in China.
Yes, and well, if you're the most polluted in China, trust me, that's got to be close to the most polluted in the world, because China is basically a cesspool.
Yeah, well, and they're saying that the origins of this virus could have something to do with just eating animals in the local market there. They eat a lot of just random things.
There was one person showed a picture of a person eating a bat.
Yeah.
It caused concern. They eat bats there. They eat snakes there. Being in such close proximity to people, a lot of these animals can carry disease because they're in close proximity with humans and human waste and things like that. So it's not a great environment.
And they think repeated exposure kind of causes thing to be able to infect humans.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, you're talking about human waste. That's the biggest problem in San Francisco right now.
Human feces lining the streets. There's an app that people can mark where there is homeless person dung on the sidewalk.
Yeah. And you can literally, I mean, I was in San Francisco, God, it was in 1983. Beautiful, beautiful city, and stayed in the Westin St. Francis Hotel, where all of those fancy places are, and all of the number of people, it was an entire square. You could go, I mean, all of these Tiffany's, Bloomingdale's, Neiman Marcus, you name it, they were all lined up. Everybody lined up in front of the door of everyone. You had to walk around everybody just to walk on the sidewalk. And that was back in the 80s. And now it is far worse. Now it has become a crisis. Mm-hmm. Now it's they're everywhere. And nobody can afford to. Yeah, the apartment, a two-bedroom apartment in San Francisco is $5,000. Basically a month. $5,000 a month.
Oof.
Yeah.
Why do we need San Francisco?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's going to destroy itself with this if you have massive homeless populations.
Why do you think so many
property values through the roof?
And people are moving out of that state. They're moving out of that state in
really,
the, by the
droves.
Really,
the people who can afford to stay are the people who work for those big tech companies out in Silicon Valley.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's the same situation they're seeing. And you go to the West Loop in Chicago, and I think I talked about this. We were having dinner out there, and Google's got their headquarters in Chicago. Okay,
the Chicago headquarters in the West Loop.
Okay, apartments that were going nice, fairly nice apartments for $1,500 a month.
Yeah,
they jumped instantly to $4,500.
Yeah, but you can't blame Google for that. You have to blame the money hungry,
no, not the tenants,
you know,
the
slumlord,
because what happens,
that are totally taking advantage of anyone who is going to
Google's
work for
here,
Google.
The property value just went through the roof,
just like in our own city right here, where now the slumlords raise the rent by near double when that fertilizer plant came in, making it nearly impossible for any local to find a new apartment or to find a house.
How expensive did apartments
go? It was unreal. Oh, I looked at a one-bedroom house here in town that was going for nearly $1,000 a month.
Wow.
Something that probably would have been closer to $600 a month. I mean, it was literally like three rooms. It was a living room. Right. A small kitchenette and a small bedroom.
I saw the exact same one. Like, I actually found a really decent rate in an apartment here, but it took me a long time to find one.
Those prices, they came back down. They did come back down.
Well, back down for renters, but what ended up happening is a lot of these folks in town bought up properties. They made them nice. They rented them for exorbitant amounts to these temporary workers.
I know. My neighbor across the street sold his house. Sold his house, and I found out, how much did you get for that? And what happened is, because he then sold his in my neighborhood, they were using that house that was temporary housing for all the executives that came into that came into work at the plant.
Yeah, so the game plan was, you know, you rent out all these houses to the workers. Then once the whole thing's built, a lot of the workers are going to be gone. It's going to be a lot more white collar jobs. So then what you do is you then sell that house.
Right.
You jack up the price by 30%. Sell it to one of the white collar workers that's going to be working down there at that plant.
And then you just
cashed in not only on these temporary workers, but these people coming to town, and you flooded the community with overpriced houses that nobody can afford.
I could have done that.
Weird.
I could have done
it.
Didn't. And I'm not saying that every person dealing with property in town did that, but there were quite a few that did. Me trying to find a house at the time, made it very hard.
And if you had a lot of properties, it was like making out like a bandit.
Yeah, renting and real estate is a cutthroat business. And everything is about jacking the price up so you put more money in your pocket.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it's one thing to make some money, which obviously was an opportunity for people, but it's another thing to take advantage of people. And obviously that's what they were taking advantage of the fact that these guys were getting paid very good wages down there, and that they could take a little bit of extra money out of their pocket, because many of these guys are used to paying much more for rent than what we usually pay around here. But the byproduct of that was, you were keeping all of the locals from finding better.
It was all artificial is what it was. Now, I think the price of most of the rentals around here have dropped.
It's probably stabilized. To pretty much what they would have been.
Maybe they're a little higher than they would have been, but I think they're all pretty stable, because once they all moved away, or once they all got out of there, then it was a different story, right?
I mean, it was wild there for a year or two. And, you know, anyone looking for a home or an apartment at that time, you know, I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about.
No, I do understand. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a rough time.
It was. It was a time indeed. And anyway, let's see. What do we got? I've got Robin Johnson's got a special guest. Chris Arnade is going to be joining him in part two of the show. I've got a special guest in part one. That's on the show tomorrow. Wednesday will be, I believe, Pat Cohen Day. Pat Cohen, Burlington's school issues will be on the table for that. And then Thursday, another open phone day. And then we've got more to come, but we'll tell you more about that tomorrow.